Welcome to Party Friday here with Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, True Straight Up. We're going to have a great show. We've got some great guests, and we're just going to let it rip.
That's right. And who knows what I'm drinking in this glass?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, and we want to let folks know the show is sponsored. We are so thrilled to have them as a sponsor by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. You know, every morning when I get up and every night before I go to bed, there are a few websites that I check. I kind of just do a round robin. And wouldn't you agree, Colorado Citizen Press is one I check every day. They have so much stuff there that you will never see anywhere else that you need to see.
They're fantastic. They really are fantastic. And whatever else you check, you got to check out Colorado Citizen Press if you're conservative or Republican, or you're just somebody who's interested.
Like, who cares about your life in Colorado.
Colorado Citizen Press.
And also, wonderful. One other housekeeping thing. You can catch all of our podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. We're making a YouTube push. I'd like you, if I may, Rev, our social media expert. Our nine-year-old son says, Mom, you got to get more subs. And I'm like, what's a sub? And he goes, a subscriber.
Doesn't cost anything. No money. No money.
Just go to chuckandjulie.com. You're going to see up in the upper right-hand corner, it looks like a little movie thing, and that's the YouTube. If you go there and subscribe, we've joined forces. This is so exciting. With Colorado Freedom Force and Jan Cook, she's going to be our live roving reporter at the state capitol.
Yeah, she's great.
But YouTube won't let us live stream on mobile devices until we get 1,000 subscribers. So if we may ask, we would love to have you go there and subscribe.
Tell them one more time what they have to do.
Okay, all you do is go to chuckandjulie.com. That's our website. You can catch all the podcasts there too, by the way. And then up on the upper right-hand corner, you're going to see a little Twitter sign, a Facebook sign, and then the YouTube thing. If you click on that, it's going to take you right to our channel, and it's going to say subscribe. And Rev says that's what you have to do.
For some reason, I don't know why.
But if we get 1,000, then we can start live streaming on YouTube on other times with Jan down at the state capitol. And I got to tell you what, the mainstream, and we're going to bring Patrick Neville on, I'm sure he would agree with us. The mainstream media is not covering, they're covering like this much of what goes on at the state capitol. Completely unbiased.
Well, let's bring in one of our favorites of all time, Patrick Neville. We're going to get his music in here somewhere one of these times.
The return of the Minority Report. Hey, Patrick, thank you, and welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. That sounds really cool. I saw Jan down at the Capitol several times, but to have her there live reporting stuff, that's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. She was, I got to tell you what, they had all those moms there the other day for the vaccination bill and some of the sex ed bills, and they were all camped out outside of Polis's office. And Jan, she missed her calling. She was like live, she was recording while she walks into the governor's office. She's like, hey, Governor Polis, how come you guys aren't coming out here to talk to all these moms? He's like, ma'am, there's nothing to see here, nothing to see here. So if we get 1,000 subscribers, we can start doing that live. So wanted to start off with, okay, Patrick, this sounds insane to me, but it seems to me that if you have a gun for home protection, one of the key things you need to do is have your gun in a place where you can get to it to protect your home, right? Not in a
state. Doesn't do you any good after they've killed you.
That's right. It just does
you no good.
But the Democrats, there are a couple of gun bills up today. One of them, safe storage, which is one of those Democrat ones that sounds good, but is horrible. Am I right?
That's right. I mean, they're not actually, they weren't up today. I think they're getting introduced today, so I don't even know if they're publicly available. I got to cruise over some copies that the press gave to me, and they are. They're just absolutely horrendous bills. The safe storage bill in particular also puts a bunch of additional mandates and requirements on gun stores. It requires that, you know, they provide a lock with every gun that's sold, which is just, it's going to end up being another gun tax. We already have a gun tax because you have to pay for your background check.
Right,
now you're going to have to pay for this stupid, silly lock that you may not even use. If you're like me, I may or may not have a large safe, you know, full of firearms. that stupid little flimsy lock, I'm never going to use. It doesn't do any good. Doesn't serve any purpose. If I want to lock up my guns, I'm going to lock them up securely, not with just some flimsy little lock that could be, you know, probably broken with a pair of pliers.
They'll increase it in future years. You will need a $10,000 safe with kryptonite lock.
Well, here's the thing, too. Doesn't it? It criminalizes not doing this, right? So if you don't do this, then you can actually be put in jail, as I understand it, right?
I think so. Again, I just got to look over the bills. I don't have them there in front of me. But then also mandates that the gun stores post up signage that's like even very. It has to be this mount font. It has to say this verbiage. So it's compelled speech from the gun store. And then on top of that, it creates this, like, education campaign around safe storage.
Excellent.
Which seems to me like if we're going to create any sort of education campaign, how about we just do, like, an overall gun safety campaign and educate on the four rules of gun safety? And if we did that, we would actually have a lot more negligent discharges and actually some more understanding around firearms.
Yeah.
And they're not stopping here, right?
No, this is from Representative Monica Duran. Each year, whatever it might be, whatever it might look like, we will be bringing gun legislation to the point to where it's just as common as a health care bill, just as common as an environmental bill, where it's not just big things, but small things, middle things, standard and normal. We're going to be dealing with this. All right.
Let's compare those two. So look what they've done with health care. They started in 2010 with Obamacare. They've moved forward ever since then. And now in Colorado, we are on the path with a public option to have complete single payer of health care in Colorado. So they probably obviously saw that tactic probably worked with health care, that, gosh, piece by piece, we are just taking over this whole system, and it's a government-controlled system. So why not just piece by piece get rid of the Second Amendment and completely take away people's firearms?
Well, and that's the bottom line to me, Patrick. Let me ask you about that. That's not about gun safety. It's not about mental health. It's about getting rid of the Second Amendment. What they want to do, I believe, is make it so confusing, so scary, so that if you're just the average person, say, and you're thinking about getting a gun because your neighbor's house was robbed, right? You're thinking, well, maybe I need some protection. All of a sudden, you see this. So if you don't store it right, you could go to jail. I think the overall has a chilling, like a freezing effect on people who may be thinking about buying a gun, right?
That's right. And, you know, the storage law is so idiotic, too, because I think they tried including some language in there to kind of soften some of the blows they're going to take on this about being able to access it quickly. And they said, well, if it's within arm's reach, then it doesn't have to be safely stored. So the example I like to look at is if you've got maybe a gun in your nightstand as you're sleeping and it's ready to go.
If you go to the bathroom, they can arrest you.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's bingo. Right. You get up, man, I really got to go. The bathroom. And then the home invader comes in. Well, hey, guess what? You were in the bathroom when they came in? Oh, man, you didn't have your gun safely stored.
And what I love about the Denver Post is always fair, always, always good. They kind of give her statements, and then they cite their own little somebody's poll.
Some fake poll.
They love this. 71%, according to the left wing, you know, we hate guns.
Yeah.
And then they go to you. But you wouldn't know that by those wacko Republicans down there. They seem to be against it, almost universally, other than Kevin Priola, perhaps.
Right. I mean, it's funny because when they do a poll, I mean, even if I was asked, hey, do you think you should safely store your firearms? And that was the question, and that was the question only. I'd say, yeah, and I do that as a gun owner, right?
Do you think that they ought to be able to provide possibly gun locks with guns? Well, sure.
Sure,
well,
right.
Why not?
Yeah. Well, what else is going on down there, Patrick, that you want folks to know about?
Well, I
want to
know.
The next one is even more onerous. The one that requires that individuals report if they're
right. If you lost your gun.
That one, in my mind, is much worse. I can't think of another area in statute where we criminalize a victim of a crime if they don't report it. I mean, Chuck, you're the attorney. I mean, I can't think of anything else that we do that. Like, if you don't report this and you're the victim, we are going to criminalize you. And that's what they're doing.
Well, even car registration. Yeah, you don't have to report that you don't have car registration. You don't have to report that you got
beat up. But like you said, Patrick, you're the victim. Somehow or another, you get your gun stolen. And if you do, I just think there's no common sense to that. That's just trying to make people not want to have a gun, right? Why would you're the victim? It'd be like, we're going to arrest you now.
Well, and how do they possibly enforce this, right? So they say, oh, when we do this background check, this universal background check, we don't store those records, we get rid of it. So how would they even know
if they find one and say, is this your gun? We found it, you know, it was, oh, it is. You didn't report it to us. Off to jail. We didn't get person who stole it from you, but we're taking you down to your friendly confines of the jail.
But the worst part is by reporting it, they are requiring a gun registration system.
Of course. Yeah. Well, they don't, you know.
Right, right. Well, but then they're going to say, what other guns do you have,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
in case they get
right,
stolen,
right,
too.
Yeah. Well, I want to know, have you gathered the $100,000 to be able to go to Larry's house and meet the president and
for the Cory Gardner fundraiser.
At Larry's house, and you got a photo, and a couple other things. And so, are you on the list to cough up 100,000?
Well, you know, according to Marianne Gidlin and her reporting on us, you know, apparently I've gotten rich off of politics, so you would think I should have been able to, but no. As I'm sitting in here, you know, in my hail-damaged Thomas Honda Civic, with, I think I just hit over 240,000 miles now. I don't think making that trip.
You've got that Ferrari tucked in the garage.
John,
trying to fool us. You pull that out, you're the captain, you go home, and out comes the 1956 $2 million Ferrari.
Let me though go back to before we got into the party that we weren't invited to either.
Larry has invited me to something,
but not this. What else is going on there at the Capitol that folks need to know about?
Well, I think the biggest one that's coming up sooner than later is the it's House Bill 1008, and as introduced, this bill was really awful and basically would have shut down all health sharing services in Colorado.
Well, good, Julie. That's excellent for you.
You're
very good. Very good. Okay. I'm on Medicare now,
like
but Julie is on her own.
Your Sumerian purses, all that. They've kind of done some amendments to it, but the bill's still in a really bad place. It basically gives the Department of Insurance regulatory authority over these, and these programs are not insurance. They are quite the opposite. It is truly people coming together and agreeing to share each other's costs. They're trying to give the DOI authority over these, and so we're trying to work on some different amendments, possibly to completely clarify that it's not insurance. And I would like to see it not be under DOI at all.
Well, here, let me tell you my experience. Patrick. So what happened was, you know, I worked for Fox 31 for years. I had the corporate insurance plan, right? We get off of that. Now, this is under the Colorado, whatever you want to call it, Colorado version of Obamacare, right? I call around and I start comparing. And then I realize they tell me, okay, well, we live in Adams County. So I had one choice. There was one choice.
A good one.
And it was one company. And so for myself and Rev, it was going to be something like, I'm not even exaggerating, it was like $800 a month. That was a premium, and then nothing was covered, right? And I also had to pay for, in case other people was a heroin addict, you know, I'm 62, I had to go ahead and pay for pregnancy and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
so you had to pay for my pregnancy.
Your pregnancy, exactly. Exactly. And so then I found out about a company that was a health sharing thing. I went with them. And I saved a ton of money. And you know what? They cover everything exactly the same as the insurance. In other words, they cover it, right? But as you said, it's sharing. And if you break the rules, then you don't qualify. But are they trying to get rid of that to force us into whatever this debacle Polis is trying to pull healthcare-wise?
I think that's exactly what they're doing. So they've gotten smarter. So instead of doing these big omnibus bills that get citizens really riled up because there's so much bad in there, they do these little pieces. And it's becoming death by a thousand cuts. So they've got this bill that kind of will eliminate that option. And as you said, you only had one option before that.
Yeah.
So then they come in and say, oh, we got the saving grace of this new state public option, which they're being very clever now, calling it the Colorado option. So instead of
a
public option or a single payer, it's the Colorado option. And then on top of that, they're bringing all these different bills to mandate coverage for practically everything.
Yes.
You know, colorectal screening, you know, behavioral health sessions, you know, and they do them piece by piece. Oh, gosh, Patrick Neville he voted no to, you know, have you get colorectal screening. And, he's so terrible. But they don't want to do them all in one big omnibus because then people would actually notice this thing is going to have a huge increase on the cost. But instead they just say, well, this one little piece, it's negligible. But then if you add them all up together, bill by bill, it's a big deal.
Oh, it's like I said, it was unaffordable, right? I was like, I might as well just.
Well, the copay, you didn't start till you got to 10,000.
I mean, it was ridiculous.
And then it was, you know, they covered 2% or something. That's an exaggeration, but it was.
All right,
awful.
So that's bad.
That's bad. All right. What's the next bad thing?
What's the next bad thing they're trying to do to us?
Well, we had a silly bill today, just showing how the PC culture is starting to take over. And it's a bill to say that we can't use the term illegal alien in Colorado anymore, because we had a representative actually said that was hate speech. illegal alien. That was Susan Weinstein. She got on the floor and she's like, we shouldn't be using hate speech and statutes. Like, what bizarre world did we get in where illegal alien came in? So they came forward and said, like, the original bill said it should be undocumented immigrant. And then we kind of actually, Dave Williams did a great job, made a lot of points on this and said, like, look, if maybe there's some sort of middle ground, if you don't like the active term of illegal alien, I mean, there's something else. So then they came back, and I think they kind of got scared because he was making a lot of good points. And so they came back and amended it, saying it's not going to be undocumented immigrant. It's going to be unauthorized worker.
Good God. Oh, because they're working. God. Those drug dealers, God. They are hard workers, Patrick. Yeah, those unauthorized so drug dealers. Workers. Here's a problem I have with that, though, Patrick. Is illegal alien, because I used to have this fight at the TV station all the time, right? Illegal alien is actually in the federal law. That's what ICE calls them. So if they do this, they're going to have to throw a whole bunch of federal judges in jail for hate speech, because when they sentence people who are here illegally and, you know, they have a gun or they need to be deported. So how are they going to get around that? That's what the federal law calls them.
Well, they're just changing Colorado civil law, so I guess they could change it. But my point is, like, there's no difference in what we're calling it. It's still the same. It's still the same thing they're doing. It's just the PC police out there trying to push this. And it was kind of funny because days earlier we were having a debate on a separate bill that would give illegal aliens and or whatever you want to call them, undocumented immigrants. I really don't care. Whatever you want to call them, they're trying to say that, oh, they have sanctuary to and from a courthouse. Complete sanctuary.
Yeah, that didn't work out real well in San Francisco. They had sanctuary right,
so we had, We had Representative Holtorf getting up there, and he kept saying criminal aliens. And he got gaveled down by Tony Exum and said, we cannot use the term illegal alien. And all the Democrats were offended, and I ran up and, you know, defended him. I said, that's a legal term. Are you getting to the point where you're going to start gaveling our members down for using a federally legal term? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean,
it is ridiculous.
Talk about if the PC's gone that far, we're just so out of touch.
Again, I think what's important to me, too, is to remember sort of the underlying thing here. The underlying thing here is they want to get rid of the guns. They want to be able to crack down on you no matter what. So you're afraid to say or do anything, and you just let them do whatever. You know, let me just a couple more questions for you, because I know you're so busy. But, you know, earlier, before we saw some of the things coming down this year, there was some thought that maybe this being an election year, that the Democrats would kind of back off on this extreme progressive agenda. But sounds like, no, that's not happening at all.
No, not whatsoever. If I look at the aggregate of this session, it is way worse than last session. Like I kind of pointed to earlier, I just think they've been more smart about it. So instead of doing big omnibus bills that bring a lot of attention, they've done death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah.
So that way citizens see a bill and they're like, well, maybe that one's not worth, you know, the 5 or 6 hours of my time to come down and testify on singly. So they've been very strategic about moving their agenda forward this time. As last session, they did a bit much of, you know, like I said, big omnibus bills, whether it was 1032, the sex education, the national popular vote, red flag, you know, all of them, you know, combined. They were big, big bills that created a lot of controversy. So they've been smarter, saying instead of doing one big bill that's going to create controversy, we're going to pass 5 bills that accomplish the same thing as one big bill would, but on their own, they don't look so bad.
Right.
But in the end.
Well, let me ask you about what you thought about the primary election here in Colorado and nationally. Good turnout by Republicans, although the Democrats came swamping in on Monday and Tuesday. And the fact that Bernie Sanders won Colorado, but he isn't going anywhere. The establishment, Democratic establishment, has successfully squashed him. So we'll have, I guess, Joe Biden running
with
here
John
in Colorado.
John Hickenlooper, maybe. I don't know.
With John Hickenlooper, sure, of course.
They won't hold fundraisers, though. Maybe.
Maybe. Larry will give him some.
So, money. Yeah, what's your take on that on the national scene?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there's definitely a big push to by the establishment Democrats to cut Bernie off. And that's what we saw with Buttigieg and Klobuchar getting out and endorsing, and then, you know, Warren staying in. So they're definitely not happy. But it'll be interesting. I mean, in Colorado, we're seeing the same dynamic in the House. I mean, there's some Democrats that are kind of your established Democrats, but you're seeing, like, the folks like Leslie Herod really start to take over the party and really bully the party. So I think you're seeing they're very split. I don't think Joe Biden's got a necessarily an easy pathway out. Neither do I think Hickenlooper does. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the state assembly here in Colorado, because the Colorado has been completely taken over by the Colorado Squad, which is, you know, your it's your Leslie Herridge, your Javon Meltons, your Emily Sirotas. Those folks have completely taken over their party.
Final question for you. What can people do to help you guys down there? Besides, I mean, caucuses are Saturday. You need to send more Republicans to the legislature. But what can people do to help you?
The biggest thing they can do is go to takebackco.org. So takebackco.org. That's our kind of our grassroots effort. Sign up there. We're in the middle of candidate recruitment. I want to make sure we have a candidate, hopefully in every district that we can possibly have, but especially our competitive districts. I mean, some of these seats are even hard to recruit in. But the thing I want to point out is we don't know. Trump's going to change the map significantly in Colorado. So there's some districts that normally we would think are competitive districts that won't be because Trump is here, but there are other districts that are huge opportunities because Trump is playing in Colorado. There are going to be big opportunities for us. So we just want to make sure we have good candidates in all our seats. And if you go there and ping us and say, hey, I'm interested in running, we would love to kind of look at that and talk about it. Or if you're just willing to help out, talk about it. But, yeah, definitely get into caucus tomorrow. It's 10 o'clock, at least in my county. And get in there and run for delegate. We need good conservatives in there, too, because that's, you know, we got to make sure that we keep the identity of our party in conservative hands. And that's really how you do it, is by showing up to caucus.
Yeah, then you get on central committees, and then
then
you maybe can help them not rig the next
party chair. Hey, Patrick, thank you.
Take care, Patrick.
Yeah, we appreciate all you do down there.
Keep up the good work.
All right, thank you. That was Patrick Neville. The website he was talking about is takebackco.org. Takebackco.org. And we're going to have him on, go back to folks who listen to us at the old radio station. We had him on every Friday. We called it the Minority Report. And it is great to listen to. And also go to ColoradoCitizenPress.com. They all work together to keep you informed about what's going on. But that's terrible if we're going to get rid of the health sharing things.
And again, they're trying to force it out there.
You know, we've got Ben, since we're going to go to Randy Corcoran here in a couple of minutes.
Let's go to Ben. Ben, can we bring Ben up?
Can we bring Ben up? He's Ben Nicholas, just since we were talking about the caucuses.
There he is.
Hey, Ben.
Fighting Ben Nicholas.
I know, Ben. I kind of feel like we're like Oprah and you're Dr. Phil. We're going to pretty soon give you your own channel and stuff.
Well, I want to tell you the exciting thing. We went to the Adams County Executive Committee one.
You and yesterday. Ben.
You're Ben and Anil and Joe. And,
that's right.
And it was great. Kevin,
you guys are trouble.
Oh, we are. So we go there and John Winholz was there and it was great. And they did a good job. Kevin was there for a little while, but not too long. Just to wave to everybody.
Kevin Priola, for folks who don't know, is a progressive Republican.
Yeah, progressive from Adams.
That's right. There's an interesting article about that.
Kind of Citizen Press.
That's right. One that you're just, you know, first things first here. I just wanted to mention that about a week or a week and a half ago, I went to YouTube and subscribed. So
good job.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
you. Yeah, I wanted
999 to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to say that you guys are neat. You need the support, and I'm all for you.
Oh, that's great.
Well, thank you.
So afterward, then the big honcho is Ben, myself, Anil, and Joe. They said we're going out, and I'm going. All right, you know, I'm going to go to some smoke-filled bar where all the
big honchos are there.
People will be handing us envelopes and everything.
Get those dollar bills out, right?
Get those dollar bills out. So great. Where are we going? Oh, just right down here. So we have two places. In. I said, but this is a McDonald's. I said, yeah, they got great fudge sundaes.
Oh, yeah.
You guys live large.
We live big. We live big.
I was like, Chuck, you're getting home late. He's like, I can't say where we've been.
Yeah, Julie, it's...
No women.
No women at the McDonald's. It's all
that's why I've been married for 52 years.
Yeah.
I don't go to the bar.
Avoid the bars.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? I mean, just your thought, because I wanted to give you a chance to sort of pump the caucuses, because we're going to be there at our caucus tomorrow. How can people find out if they're listening?
Including ourselves.
And explain to people a little bit. These don't take forever, but they're important because, like Patrick said, it all starts local, right? I mean, Trump, that's great. And if you can go to the $100,000 ticket dinner, good for you. But in the meantime, we've got the caucuses tomorrow.
No, the caucus is extremely important. You know, I can't stress that enough because it is truly the grassroots. As you know, I've said, there's many of us that believe that the state party, along with the Democratic Party, they're all trying to kill the caucus. They want to control this in a centralized Federalist manner, if you will. Right. This is the chance for you, the individuals out there, to express your opinions as to what you think should happen within your own party, and perhaps offer up some resolutions. And I have my standard three ready to go for this Saturday, and it's at 10 o'clock. And Chuck, last night I told you that I'd give you that address.
Yeah, write this down, Julie.
Okay.
That's right. It's at Shaw Heights, and we will be going to 8780 Circle Drive in Westminster. So that's just east.
I know where that is. Yeah, I know where it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're heading. And last night, as you know, Chuck, they had the bag stuffing. It's a big project, and that was a major undertaking. I've done that a couple of times myself. And so the Joanne and all the staff there, Joanne Winholtz is the current chairman of Adams County.
She's great. I love her.
She put together a good team, and we had lots of volunteers, as you met last night, a couple of them from East Adams County. So everybody's trying to get involved.
Yes.
I'm just hoping that everybody will show up and go to their caucus and participate. That's where it really happens, and I would encourage everyone.
Yeah, make some trouble.
All right, yeah, and make some trouble like you guys do.
Yeah, you know, it's fun.
Yes.
Just go there and stir it up a little bit.
Yeah, and we'll take you to McDonald's.
There you go, you know.
You can be part of
first round on me.
There you go. Hey, Ben, we're going to have you. We're going to put you in the background a second, because I do want to bring up Randy Corcoran, speaking of grassroots. Randy Corcoran is a, we'll give him a second here to turn his camera and everything on. He is a talk show host at 710 KNUS. He's a lawyer. He's a grassroots activist.
9 to 12 every Saturday.
9 to 12 every Saturday. He fills in for everybody, every place also. And he also does Arapahoe
Party.
He is outside wearing his MAGA hat.
Wow.
And Randy, why don't you tell folks why that's so important today, the significance today?
Well, there's a big deal that's getting revved up for Monday. Hugo Chavez Rey, who's the head of the Hispanic Republicans, came up with the brainstorm, asked me if I'd help. And of course, I'm very excited about the opportunity to go down to the Denver City Council meeting on Monday and say hello to Miss Sita Baca. MAGA hat in place, maybe a coronavirus mask on our faces. Make sure that they don't have any intentionality going down there. But I think it's really important for people who support the president, people who support the ability to peacefully and freely assemble, and people who think it's really hypocritical that the media would completely ignore or try and smooth over the retweeting of a very offensive comment from a California lawyer.
Randy, you missed it. Yeah, I explained it, but you've missed it. No, Randy, no, she's the victim. Because she received some threats. What we're talking about is a Denver City Councilwoman by the name of Candy C. DeBaca, who is a self-proclaimed communist. She admits.
She's a solid communist.
She's a
wishy-washy democratic
socialist. So she had retweeted with emojis and saying yes and tweeting support, where somebody else had tweeted that they thought that if you had coronavirus, what you needed to do was go to a Trump rally and infect and get sick all of the Trump supporters.
Right.
And she tweeted, yeah, great idea. So, Randy, I think you guys are brilliant to show up down there with the MAGA hats. You know those Dems down there, they're going to be triggered, Randy.
Invading their safe spaces.
That's right. I mean, it's their safe zone.
I wondered about whether we wanted to plan this covertly. But Hugo's thing, he said, get it out there, because who knows? They may flood the zone and make it hard for us to get in there.
Yeah,
I would just love to see a mass of MAGA hat wearing patriots who pose nobody any risk or harm whatsoever fill that Denver City Council room. And it's the entrance you get into for city council meetings in Denver is on 14th Avenue along the Denver City and County building.
Right.
Probably should get down there by 4:30 or so. I think the meeting starts at 5:30, and who knows, that there'll be security. So don't come packing. It is Denver.
Well, here I'm going to tell you about, because I covered only like a million Denver City Council meetings in my time. You're absolutely right. You're going to have to go through security, and you do want to get there a little bit early, because they don't, at that time of the day, the building for the most part is empty except for the city council meeting. So they don't have a time. The other thing is, too, you don't want to be late. Sometimes those Denver City Council meetings, particularly if they know something like this is coming, they're over, Randy. I've seen them over in 20 minutes or less. Okay. So. You have to sign up. If you want to speak, you have to sign up to speak. There's a little desk on the side, and you have to go there too.
I think there may be folks down there with video, maybe putting it up on Facebook Live, and it'll just be really interesting to see.
Now that's interesting because they outlawed.
Did you know
they outlawed?
Do that anyway because it's been challenged, but they don't. They have like safe. Literally, the TV crews have like safe zones at the Denver City and County Building, and if they don't like, we've had even Democrat citizen organizations call us at the newspaper saying if they don't like what you're trying to say, they say, "Oh, you can't videotape here." So,
well, good luck doing that with me. My phone will be fully charged with a battery.
That'll be perfect. Yeah. Well, let's talk about, to me, this is my thought on it. She was saying, well, I was just being sarcastic. And then the mainstream corporate media here in Denver portrayed her as the victim and said, she has received threats. Oh my God. Oh my God. She's received threats.
It's amazing how they've adopted. We like jokes. We like little quips. We like something that's a little funny. Not if it's said by a conservative, they don't like it at all.
You know anything about that? Would you?
No.
What do you think of that? Just a total hypocrisy.
It's very, very frustrating. But you know what? I always look at the positives that can be taken out of a situation, and this kind of behavior from the leftists is just amping up supporters of the president, supporters, even folks who may not love the president or his behavior or something, which I argue with them whenever I hear that, but are opposed to socialism. Sita Baca is not just a communist. She's a self-described anarchist. I mean, she wants...
Even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
Have you heard this? Joy Overbeck, who's a grassroots activist, and I have not confirmed this, but Tay Anderson, who was the guy who was trying to put down the support ICE protests or rallies, right? Who's now a Denver school board member, God knows.
Perfect. How that Excellent.
Wants to get rid of the Pledge of Allegiance at school board meetings.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, well... Denver is San Francisco Junior, at Los Angeles Junior, Seattle Junior right now.
Right,
and it's really going to be up to the rest of Colorado to pull us out of that abyss. Yeah. And, you know, I was listening when Patrick was on with you, and I really do agree with him that the Trump movement is going to change the map here in Colorado. Yeah. And if we can send that message, folks who are, you know, people who get on city council will someday think they're going to be the mayor, and then the governor, and then the president, and then the emperor, conqueror, and absolute dictator of the world. And if the people get agitated enough in a peaceful way and turn out at the ballot box, then that can send a message to kind of slow them down while we slowly and surely try and infiltrate them.
Yes.
I mean, 10 years ago, I'd have never believed that we had a chance in Colorado of putting Donald Trump over the top. And with what I've seen from the Colorado GOP and the Cory Gardner campaign and the Trump campaign, I was at a meeting the other day where all three of the leaders, campaign managers for all three of those groups, GOP, Gardner, and Trump were there talking about what's happening, what's about to happen, money that's on hand.
So are you going over to Larry's?
Are you going to
Yeah, in fact, did you send me that check I needed to borrow?
Yeah, I've covered. It's been wire transferred to your account.
Good.
Wire transferred to
your
account.
But, you know, here's the thing, though. I take great encouragement by the fact that Trump, I mean, so what we're talking about, Trump is going to be in Colorado, I think the 13th, for a Cory Gardner fundraiser hosted by Larry Mizell, who kind of ironically supported John Hickenlooper, too. But at any rate.
He's the one who flew John Hickenlooper.
Right, one of those little ethics issues.
They like to support a winner, so that is a good sign. He likes to support who he thinks is going to win.
Exactly. That was my point, is that they obviously feel like they can get enough people there that make it worth their while to come. And so give us a little bit more secret.
If Larry's going to, it'll be worth their while.
Right.
They're not doing it.
Give us some more secret information. Well, not secret, but some insight from these three guys.
Sure. Cory Gardner's been popping up in unusual places. We had a Tea Party meeting, two Saturdays ago, I guess now.
Mm-hmm.
Where Corey was the scheduled guest. It wasn't advertised. Corey cannot do a town hall because Antifa and the left will show up and completely disrupt it.
Right.
But he is meeting with, listening to, and reaching out to folks and also answering our questions.
Okay.
And so that's very exciting. The numbers that were gathered from the Trump rally, I'm sure you guys went through them. Brad Pascal tweeted them out.
Oh, yeah.
And
Said how many unaffiliateds they had. I always wondered that information.
But. Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, and I wouldn't want to guess at it. But it's just an amazing shift in energy.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Yes. I think you're absolutely right there.
100,000 plus people who voted in 2016, didn't vote in 2018. There are people who didn't turn out in 2012 that turned out in 2016, did not vote in 2018. And the team, the Trump team, is so sophisticated that they can divvy up all those folks and go after them and get them back invested. And all of that Trump energy is going to absolutely trickle down to folks voting for Republicans on the ballot. So I'm more optimistic about this year than I have been in Colorado for some time, in spite of all the chaos and in spite of all the frustrations that we've talked about for years now.
Right.
I'll start to get excited when they start mail ballot collection teams.
Yeah, Chuck is starting to get excited about getting excited, though. Yeah, We've talked about that before. Hey, and it could be worse. We could be the Democrats, right? We could be looking at having John Hickenlooper, Mr. Ethically Challenged, isn't her?
There is so much value to being the wet towel that tries to tamp down that enthusiasm, you know?
Yeah.
The Boyles plays a valuable role. Chuck plays a valuable role because we can get all psyched up about the big Trump rally or something like that and then forget about what's happened in the past.
Yeah.
And that it's the grassroots mechanical efforts of getting ballots and that sort of thing.
Right.
Matters so much. But when you see Trump setting records over any previous Republican during a primary in the state of Colorado, in the state where he's supposed to be so despised and so hated.
Right.
It's amazing numbers. And it wasn't until Monday and Tuesday the Democrats exceeded us, and they really poured it in the last 2 days. Man. But still, that's an amazing one when you had a candidate, only the only one I ever heard of, and the rest of them was Weld. And he's a joke.
And we sent
our ballots in.
We mailed in just exactly as that to say, hey, look, because you know what, Randy? It is stuff like Candy C. DeBacca and those snooty, snarky progressives. You know, we just felt like, you know, we want to send a message to you people and say you're not silencing us. You've got it wrong. You're not in touch with the people of Colorado. And so we're going to be doing the podcast. Otherwise, we'd be joining you down there, too, because I think they're going to freak out, Randy. You are going to so trigger their little sensibilities with your MAGA hats.
That sort of stuff is just, it's so important because it builds enthusiasm in the base.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
What else you got going on? You always got something.
Saturday. What do you got on?
Well, he's at the caucus tomorrow.
I'm actually going to quit doing things and instead just promote everybody else's stuff.
Excellent. Excellent.
It seems easier. And I'm always getting information. I'm very excited to hear that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is the keynote speaker at the Larimer County Lincoln Day Dinner.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's cool.
Very cool.
I think it's a little pricier than some Lincoln Day dinners because her
speaker.
But she's the kind of person I haven't met her yet, but I've talked to people who've been at events. She doesn't just come and give her 20 minutes, that 30 speech, minutes. Yeah. No, man. She sticks around, talks to people, meets people, works the tables and all of that. So that should be great fun.
Okay.
The Rapo Tea Party meeting is coming up on Tuesday. And so assignments, you know, I really want to demand people tell me before they leave that meeting what the heck they're going to do next. You know, showing up to meetings is great. Are you going to write a check? Are you going to make a phone call? Are you going to, and whatever you're doing, take the next step, add to it.
Right. Get a yard sign, then talk to your neighbors. I mean, you're right. You don't have to. I think that's such a good point, Randy. You don't have to if you want to get involved. And I think we need to get involved because we see what's at stake here in Colorado after listening to Patrick Neville. You don't have to become Mr. Superdelegate. You can do little things like that. Make a phone call, write a check, get a yard sign.
Or become Mr. Superdelegate.
Or become Mr. Superdelegate.
You'll need delegates.
And Karen Cataline's going to do my show tomorrow, so it'll be in great hands.
Perfect.
I figured I better put my money where my mouth is. Because I'm an activist that does radio, not a radio host, you know, trying to
pretend activist,
for other folks. The other thing, the deadline that people should know about is that the Western Conservative Summit early bird tickets expire on Monday. The whole package at Western Conservative Summit for $169 if people purchase
any sense on speakers yet? Have they lined that up or is that still being worked on?
No, but we very well could have the president there.
That's great. Okay. Anything else before we let you go?
Yes. I just want to mention, play off of Ben's point about caucus. There is no time in any election cycle where an individual citizen has more power, where their vote carries more weight than at caucus. Because it is at caucus where you either elect or become a delegate, who is then the person who will go to the assemblies, either the congressional, the county, or even the national assembly and the state assembly, of course, and then vote on, decide on candidates. And so it's a very small number. And we took heat for that in 2016 as Cruz delegates, but we had a
yes, you did. But I was there. I remember.
You've evolved.
Circle of eight.
Did not walk away from Trump. Get that message to Peter, will you please?
Yeah. He's not believing you. He's getting the tape.
So I just encourage everybody to show up. And if you've never done anything before, you know, reach out to me, reach out to you guys. Do something.
Absolutely.
You are doing. Share it with somebody else and do something else, because it's time to get that steamroller rolling.
All right. Randy, thank you so much. Appreciate
your
time.
Good luck.
If I had to guess, I bet there's a motorcycle ride in your future, your near future. Mm-hmm.
I delivered the my ballots to the all 31 of them. don't tell anybody. to the drop-off box on the Harley.
Oh,
there was this 19-year-old girl there, hopped out of the car, shorts and the whole nine yards, just running out and back. And she was so excited because it was the first time she had ever voted in any kind of way. And I had her snap a picture and tweeted that out. And we just got to get people excited about
that. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
All right, sir. Thank you for your time. They have Take a great care, afternoon. Randy. We'll see you later. Thank you, Randy. And again, he's on 710 KNUS, usually on Saturdays.
But Karen Catlin's great to listen to. But you should be at the caucuses. So.
That's right. But that's why I said, that's why God invented mobile apps and that's live streaming and things like that.
Can I jump in just one last second here?
You should have that.
On Randy, what Randy just said. Mm-hmm. The other reason that you want to go to caucus is, like he said, it's where your vote counts and you start electing, you know, or moving forward from delegate or alternate. Mm-hmm. But it also is important because you now have the power to elect the people who run the party.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Forward. And that is where it's very important, because if you don't like the leadership and the direction that the party's going, you are the one individual of that precinct or those two precincts. That's where it really is the power. That's the power of the people.
Yes.
Go to caucus.
All right, friends, thank you. Stick around. We're going to open it up to the phones now. 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you on Party Friday.
Party Friday.
888-627-6008.
Need a date for the weekend? We'll try to check you out.
Chuck is still working on his conservative dating site, so feel free.
You want to date a conservative,
Here's how you get that. So if you want to come in on Zoom, like you saw Ben and Randy and you've seen Jan Cook, all you need to do is go to bbsradio.com/Chuck and Julie, and then you're going to see Chuck and Julie show, and you're going to see a little link there that will take you right to the Zoom app, and you can control it. You can turn your camera on and off, your microphone on and off. You saw Ben just did that too, so you don't have to worry. Or if you're eating your sandwich and you just want to be there, and like we're all at the kitchen table, that's cool with us too. One other thing, I want to make a plea. As I said, our 9-year-old social media manager Rev said, "Mom, you guys need to get more subscribers on YouTube." Here's what that means. If you don't subscribe to a lot on YouTube, all you do is you go to chuckandjulie.com. That's our website. We have all the podcasts there. And up in the upper right-hand corner, there's a little Twitter symbol, a little Facebook symbol. And then the next one there is a YouTube symbol. You click on that. That just automatically takes you to our YouTube channel. And then there's a little red thing there that says subscribe. When you subscribe, really nothing happens.
No money.
No, yeah, it doesn't take your happens. Money. Nothing happens. You don't get emails. You don't get any of that. You just subscribe.
You don't get bombed. You get nothing. It doesn't cost anything. It's just a way of them being able to calculate.
To monitor how many people are watching us. Here's why that is particularly important, because we've seen, particularly this legislative session, you know, the local media, and I was there, so I know what's going on. They just don't have the people. They don't care. It's just, you know, that the local media is not going to cover some of these particular specific events at the state capitol. They're going to show up at press conferences that Polis has to tell us that there are two people in Colorado who have coronavirus, right? But Jan Cook and the folks at Colorado Freedom Force are down there every day monitoring stuff going on, and they're taping it. Now, if we can get we would love to be able to put that up live
for you,
not just during our show on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, but Tuesdays and Thursdays and whatever. But what we need is YouTube won't let us do that unless we have 1,000 subscribers.
Well, you know, we got at least one.
We've got two. Rev.
No,
we've
Rev.
Got more. Yeah. We've got more. But so if you would do us a favor, that way what we can do is bring you live action stuff as it's going on, and you can see for yourself. You can see, as the Freedom Colorado Freedom Force folks and Jan Cook have shown, you know, you have dozens and dozens of moms sitting outside of legislators' offices, the governor's office, saying, hey, look, we don't want this vaccination bill. We don't want this. We don't want that. We don't want this sex ed bill. And they don't care. No one even comes out and talks to them, right? That you can tape their testimony, right? Where no one even cares, and they're making fun of them. So that would be great if you could do that. That way we can bring it all to you. Okay. Then privately, people are telling us party leader elections are in off years, not this year. Okay.
What's the next one?
Yeah. They're talking about the BBS is going down to YouTube. Okay. What else do we want to talk about today, Chuck?
Elizabeth Warren, my favorite politician. I was just so heartbroken when she announced coming out of her.
I was surprised she did it so quickly. I would have thought she would have waited a day or two.
No.
Okay.
She, you know, because she wants to kind of get everybody's attention later in the week. People lose their attention. Mm. So he gets out in front of her house, her multi-million-dollar house.
She did herself drinking a beer.
Not really.
And her husband wanders through, and he said, honey, I'm quitting. Did you know that?
and so she announced that she was suspending her campaign, which you have to do because you have to keep the counts open to be able to.
Oh, you can't just close it.
You can't just close it. Well, you can just close it. But that closes everything. I mean, everything is closed.
Can you keep all the money now?
Sure.
Okay.
And then someone asked her, you know, do you think this is sexist? And she said, well, you know, if I say it's sexism, then I'm a whiner. But I don't say it, then the trillion, quadrillion women will say that what planet do you live on? And so it's clear. It is absolutely clear it's sexism, just like, you know, the Trump voters, those racist Trump voters.
Oh, that's right. They're deplorable.
Yeah. Well, you know, those people who voted twice for Obama and then vote for Trump, known racist. I mean, absolutely known racist. So when Elizabeth Warren was leading the nation, she actually had gotten ahead of Biden.
Weren't sexist.
And the odds on her winning were like 2-1. The country wasn't sexist.
Right.
But within a couple of months, it's amazing how that sexism
starts. It just reared its ugly head.
Oh, my God. It just,
you know, what do you think?
888-627-6008.
I'm a woman, so I get to.
Well, other than the fact here in Colorado, and we got it, you got all the statistics from
Magellan,
you know, 60% women are voting in Colorado.
Well, yeah, okay, exactly.
In the Democratic primary. So that 60% woman one. Voted first for Sanders, second for Biden, and third for Warren.
So what you're talking about is the Democrat women are racist and sexist.
Yes.
What happened to the black candidates? Gone.
Gone.
Right? What happened to minority candidates?
Gone.
Except for Tulsi Gabbard, but the DNC won't let her in.
She qualifies.
Think about that. Tulsi Gabbard, who happens to be a woman, right, actually qualifies.
A woman of color.
A woman of color. But then that DNC said, oh, no, she doesn't count. No. I mean, to me, that is just
because she got a delegate. And they go, oh, no.
And you know what? Here's what I hope the Democrats do. I hope those crazy Democrats keep thinking that rather than actually go ahead and find themselves a candidate who people like, who people agree with, who can answer the question, well, what's your plan? How are you going to pay for that, right? Rather than people who lie about everything. I mean, maybe, call me crazy, but maybe those were factors in Elizabeth Warren's candidacy.
Or the fact that she was caught lying about that she got fired for a pregnancy.
Being Indian.
That was a famous one about being Indian, the first woman of color on the Harvard faculty. it just goes on and on, and she keeps on making, well, same with Biden. You know, I was arrested with Young and Swahili.
Oh, yeah, I was arrested with Mandela. It's like, here's the thing, because I think the Democrats, this is their problem, is that they're all victims, right? No matter, Candace Ibaka, she makes a snarky stupid tweet, rather than just say, you know what, that was a snarky, stupid tweet, I'm sorry. She's like, I'm a victim because people are threatening me for making that tweet. Give me a break, right? Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton, victim of sexism, right? It's like Kamala Harris, I don't know what her, why she's doing it. Rather than taking any kind of responsibility for anything, they just blame everybody else for everything.
But
it
is amazing that from now until who knows when, and maybe over Saturday, but we're going to have two old guys debating each other and fighting it out, you know.
Right.
In order for one of the old guys to go up against another old white guy. I mean, it is pretty amazing in its own way.
The way it's turned out. Hey, I want to clarify. So we've gotten, for the caucuses, I just want to clarify, Randy and Ben are kind of texting us. If, you know what, if you go in on the Zoom app also, you can text us here. You have to be elected this year in order to be the party leader next year. So I guess it's sort of a year ahead. So
okay,
bottom line there,
chance.
I don't, I'm going to, would that be funny? Leave the party. except for everybody's sexist. So Elizabeth Warren getting out, to me that makes, I think, Joe Biden the guaranteed candidate.
Unless Joe goes out and really goes another,
well, which is possible.
No. He's going to be hidden down in the basement.
Should we go? We got Iggy on the phone. Hey.
All right, Comrade Iggy.
Comrade Iggy.
He must be upset. I mean, all the comrades have dropped out, and it's just down to the establishment people.
Well, they haven't all dropped out. They just ganged up against the main comrade.
Yeah.
Since it's a party Friday, comrades, I thought I'd bring up one of Chuck's favorite subjects that he's been threatening to do for some time. And talk about dating.
Oh. Yes, okay. are you available, Iggy? So are you a single guy?
I am available. I'm an old man. I'm in my mid-60s.
That's are you kidding me? I'm you're 15 years away from running for president. I mean, you're in the prime of your life. What are you talking about, Iggy? If you did a Zoom, I mean, we could get you a date.
Get your picture up there.
Well, you sure? You don't probably
No problem.
Well, we don't want to make guarantees like that.
Well, sure we can.
But what did you want to say? We're sorry.
You're sorry.
Well, anyway, so it's kind of, you know, I had for years I've been raising kids, right? Even a grandkid. So I've had them from 40 to 7. So they're finally all out of the house, which kind of left it empty. So I decided I'd start dating again.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, well, you know, in the past I've tried it. I tried it on... I forget what it is. And then I tried this new rack times. I tried it on Tinder and Facebook.
Okay.
And, you know, the reputation of Tinder, you would be surprised about all the 50 and 60-year-old women are on Tinder.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they're not looking for hookups. Yeah.
And, well, I was going to say, I have numerous friends who actually met their current husband. And these are women roughly my age who met their current husband through one of these dating apps. My daughter met her, and if they're listening, I hope they get engaged soon. But at any rate, met her good boyfriend, who's a great guy, on one of those dating apps. So how's your luck been on this?
Well, over the years, I've met a lot of really nice ladies. I haven't really had any bad experiences. Really, really nice ladies. They're like lawyers and they all had advanced degrees and stuff like that, but it never really clicked. I did find one, but she passed away on me. So,
I'm sorry.
That was the best one. Yeah. But so, anyway, when you're going through all these women, you'd be really surprised that if you like Trump, swipe the other way. They don't want anything to do with you.
Oh.
So politics, especially. To be really sick. And the people that hate Trump just hate them so bad. Hate him so bad.
Well, exactly. So why do you want to date libs? I mean, they hate you already. That's why this show has been set up, so you can find a nice, conservative woman.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, well,
deal is. I wonder if Charlene is married or
I don't
not.
Know.
Yeah. But then on top of that, of course, I'm not the guy they want because I'm like the guy they got rid of. They want somebody.
No,
better.
You're a nice guy.
Nice
you raise your kids, your grandkids.
No,
you sound
you're
perfect.
Great.
You're perfect. You're great.
So, do you have anything going on this weekend?
Yeah.
Anything this weekend? Or
you're worth a couple million, right?
No. No wallet. I have no wallet. And, you know, well, let's face it.
That doesn't matter these days.
Women have a wallet. Women have it does matter. It does matter.
Yeah.
So, no, I have nothing going on.
Okay, it does.
So, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there, that Trump has actually made dating more complicated.
And, yes, yes.
The other observation
well, that's why
I
we're
had
here.
Is,
that's what I'm talking about.
Well, there you go. That's, okay.
You need to meet a pro-Trump woman. That's what you need.
Go to caucus.
Yeah, again.
Caucus. That's the biggest dating thing ever. I mean, that's just wild. That's just wild.
Well, Iggy, thank you for calling in. Good. Yeah, I'm sorry that that's
right,
been more difficult for you, but you're worth it. If anybody's
we'll
listening.
We'll pass on any, you know, we've already gotten some texts in and how old is Iggy, how tall is he, everything else. So you're a man of mystery and everybody's kind of, hey, you know, he sounds pretty like a pretty nice guy.
There we go. Iggy, thank you for the call.
Take care, Iggy.
888-627-6008. If you are looking for a date or you think that Elizabeth Warren should have stayed in, you know, here's my thing back to. What I thought was really interesting when we had Ted Trimpa on Wednesday, Chuck, is when he acknowledged how that whole thing went down. Because we were like, Ted, how did – Ted's a Democrat strategist, right? And we're like, how did Joe Biden go from, like, being the presumptive loser of a sudden winning? And he flat out said all of the donors, the big donors from the various campaigns, called each other, basically said, okay, we're going to pull all of our support. So you call Buttigieg and tell him he's out. You tell Klobuchar she's got to get out.
It was exactly what conservative mama – said. If you watch that it's on YouTube, it's just hilarious. Go to a conservative mama and she's presenting the Democratic strategy event and they go, look, get Buttigieg out and tell Amy to get the hell out of town.
And in its own way, it was a brokered convention. They just didn't bother waiting for the convention,
right?
And these are donors. Donors are like, we don't go to no stinking convention. We're just going to go.
Milwaukee?
So
we're not going to Milwaukee.
If you're a Democrat, you just need to know that, right? Maybe you don't like Trump, but your party has been totally, and they're not even hiding it right now, right? Totally controlled by the big money donors. So all those Wall Street people, all the giant tech people that you think that you know, that you hate and that your party's defending you against, they're not, right? Sure. Those people are the ones who are calling the shot. They're not even in smoke-filled bathrooms right now.
That.
They're just, they're at their gym on their app. Call Buttigieg. Tell him out, you know.
Yeah, but finish my couple bench press and a couple seconds.
But I think, Chuck, it is risky because I think if you're, I mean, watching
no,
Joe.
No.
I don't think they can hide Joe Biden.
Yes, they can. They've got him down in a bunker.
Do they have like an Android Joe Biden? Yeah,
well,
like a robot?
You know, Jill will be live. You know, they can let Jill out.
Defend him against vegans.
Defend him against vegans.
You think? I don't know. I just think that it is risky. I just think it's a long time.
I can tell that Ben has something to say.
Okay, Ben, jump back in.
I do. I wanted to clarify about what we've been discussing on the text there. When you're elected as a delegate or an alternate, that's where you go vote for either the primary candidate of your choice. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're elected as a PCP, that's a precinct committee person, okay, which you stand for election at your caucus.
Okay.
That's where you have the voting power to select your chairman of the county, as well as the secretary. And then also you'll be moved forward so you can vote for the state party.
So the key is you need to be involved now if you want to have a voice going forward.
Yes, but you have to be a bonus member, okay, which I am.
Okay.
House District 35, those are the people to vote for the party leadership at the state level.
Okay.
This begins at caucus.
Just go to caucus. You'll figure it out.
Just go to caucus.
Ben will talk to you.
That's all I want to say.
All right. Thank you very much. Hey, that's going to kind of wrap it up for us. Let us remind folks, ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Please, and thrilled to have them as a sponsor.
Go see that article about the recall of Kevin Priola. It's just great.
Yeah, so ColoradoCitizenPress.com. They're Colorado's conservative voice. You want to check them out every day. We do. Again, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but we'd love to have you go to ChuckandJulie.com. Click on the YouTube channel, and so you can subscribe to us. That way, we're going to be able to live stream ongoing events for you at the state capitol. YouTube says we have to have 1,000 subscribers before we can do that. It's free, no obligation, no problems.
And in case you don't know, this program, we can see you from now. It's kind of like 1984. So where is she going? No, we can't see you.
Hey, that'll do it for us today. Thank you to the great folks
at
PBS. As always, have a great weekend.
Have a good party Friday.